Americans file first-time claims.
Blog Talk Radio.
That's 97,000 fewer than the previous week's revised total. Governor Jared Polis is working to help heal Colorado following this week's mass shooting at a King Soopers store in Boulder. He spoke during a special Boulder City Council meeting last night, saying nothing about what happened Monday is normal.
And we must do everything that we can to keep ourselves and one another from becoming desensitized to this pain, even if that seems like the easier choice. It's important to own this pain and remember what happened.
10 people were killed in the shooting, including a Boulder police officer. Paula says he understands why this attack feels personal, because there's a certain expectation of safety in everyday life. The alleged shooter is due in court this morning. Health officials say the nation's long stretch of declining coronavirus cases appears to have stalled. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told the Today Show vaccinations are, however, working.
What we do know is that we're vaccinating people at 2.5 million people per day, and we're really starting to see the positive effects of that vaccination. We know that people who are over the age of 65, their mortality rates have come down dramatically.
Through the pandemic, a lot of people have been dealing with their worries and stress by overindulging in comfort food. Elisa Z with more.
The Today Show's Joy Bauer says you can climb out of that unhealthy hole easily by incorporating fruits and vegetables in every meal.
They're high volume and they're low in calories, so they fill us up without filling us out. And they also are packed with vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants and fiber. So they quite literally shower your body with all of the good stuff.
Bauer says it's okay to have treats if 90% of the time we're eating well. She says we can have whatever we want.
Michael Kastner, NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to alternative talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies after the morning rain burns off. A few sun breaks mixed in as well. High temperatures around 51 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows down to about 41. For Friday and running up to the weekend, partly sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid to upper 50s, mostly cloudy skies through the overnight, and low temperatures in the low 40s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach, Carrie Nail. Are you a woman experiencing life transitions and who wants to be recognized for your whole potential? Join me and my co-host, Dr. Pat, as we discuss what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself, as we both have done. This hour is packed with tips and stories on what it means to become whole, to integrate into your true self, and reframe your story in any given situation. Stay with us on this journey of self-discovery, powerful solutions, and unpacking the nature of who we are and why. You've already nailed your first step to your best self by tuning into this show. Now, here are your hosts. Hey, everybody. I'm Carrie Nail, and you're listening to Nailed It Radio with me and Dr. Pat.
Hi, Carrie. I'm excited about today's show. For those of you out there, let me just tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about today and why this is such an important show. First of all, you know, this is a show where you find your simplicity within your complexity. And if you know one thing about Carrie, this is what she does. You know, she has a fantastic coaching platform. She's amazing in what she does, but also she is passionate about people and the human dynamic. And one of the things that's so important when we talk about that is to think about what gets in our way. And if you have not read about it, heard about it, felt it, stress is alive and well. Today, Carrie's going to walk us through what does it mean to cope with stress, but more importantly, how do different personalities deal with stress? Is it same thing that bothers me? Is it going to bother Carrie? Is it going to bother Olivia? Who's it going to bother? And sometimes we get shocked because we may be stressed and other people looking at us saying, wow, that is not such a big thing. So this topic really helps us understand who we are and why we are. Carrie, isn't this exciting?
Yes, I'm very excited about it. And so it's a little bit stressful, but it's also exciting.
But let's talk about this idea of stressors and what they are, because people have heard the term stress, stressed out, but I don't think we really understand the underpinnings of it.
Well, and that's why I wanted to bring in our personality preferences, because what one person's energizer might be somebody else's stressor. So I like to look at preferences based on the Myers-Briggs type indicator.
Yeah.
And so I like to look at where we get our energy, if we have extroverted or introverted energy, how we see things, our perception, whether they're in the moment detail-oriented or if they're big picture possibilities, then how we make decisions. Is it based on logic or is it based on people? And finally, how we like to live our lives. Is it open-ended, flexible, adaptable, or is it more structured? And so I'd like to go through each of those dichotomies with you and just talk about, you know, what they are so people understand the difference between stressors for each of those dichotomies and then how to cope.
Yeah, because here's the thing, and this has been a challenge in the world of de-stressing. It is not a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
And, you know, how many corporate programs have you been involved with or I've been involved with where you go in and there's this blanket program and there is this blanket solution, and some people are not able to do it because there's absolutely zero attention to who the people are. So take us through this. This is
absolutely. It's kind of like meditation and breathing too. Some people can do it for a long time. Some people can do it for short periods. And so
yeah, 3 seconds.
Understanding that. So if we have outward energy, extroverted energy, we get our energy from people and by doing things. And people who have more inward or introverted energy get their energy from sitting still and reflecting. And so I know when I've been cooped up too long and sitting still, I got to go move. And when I'm with my introverted peeps, I know that after they've been processing out loud with people they work with, they need to come home and relax and chill and be quiet. So just remember that for an extroverted person, moving around creates energy and helps relieve stress. For an introverted person, they need downtime and sleeping and relaxing and peace and quiet.
And also, and I've heard you talk about this, I know you're going to talk about it today, is, and there are a whole bunch of other layers of different type of people in between that. And so you can be an introvert, but maybe you're not quite the introvert. And you and I have talked about this. I've taken the Myers-Briggs a number of times, only because people have asked me to take it again because I score so high on the introvert scale. But look at what I'm doing for a living. And when I tell people I'm an introvert, they're like, no, no way. Come on out, dance with us. You're not an introvert. So maybe today you will help us with that.
Well, that's just it. You're doing this all day long most of the time, right?
Yeah.
And so going out dancing afterwards is not going to be your thing. You're probably going to want to go home and have that peace and quiet and relax and I don't know, play ping pong or whatever.
That's it.
And I get my energy. I could do a workshop all day. And so also remember, we do both. It's just we lean towards one or the other. It's kind of like a cell phone. An extroverted cell phone's battery is going to last longer, and then it's going to have less time, downtime to recharge. An introvert's cell phone battery is going to only be on for maybe an hour, and then it's going to have to sit still for 8 hours to recharge, something like that. So I could do a workshop all day long and then sit down, have a break for an hour or whatever, and then, yeah, I'm ready to go out and go dancing or socialize with friends.
Yeah. I mean, this is so important to understand this. You know, the aha for me in that corporate experience was that once I discovered that about myself, contrary to the way my managers looked at it, they were very concerned. I learned a simple thing like not shutting my door when I come in and all my staff is coming in. That was important for them, even though for me, I'm in my little work cave.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened the door, and so that people, when they came by, could say hi or come in. Mm-hmm. And that one thing was so important. Today, you're going to cover a range of things, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, those are great examples. Thank you for sharing that, for sure. So, yeah, and again, introverts, you know, they like to have their door shut. They like to have an enclosed space. And for extroverts, we like to have wide open. We get our energy. I love walking out the door, and there's traffic and people and activities and buildings and whatever. Going out to nature, there's a thing called forest bathing, and just getting your energy from nature as well, which can also be helpful for an introverted person as well.
Totally.
And so there's no right or wrong way. We do both. When I go through each of the dichotomies, there's no right or wrong. We do both. It's just that we lean towards or start with one, and depending on our situation. And if we're doing something in our day-to-day lives all day long that may go the opposite of our natural preferences, then we're going to need to go spend that time to recover based on who we are and our natural preferences.
And that's why I'm really excited about today, because you're going to walk us through, you know, how these dichotomies, and we're going to talk about perception and sensing and intuition and coping and, you know, all of the things that come up when we're looking at who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it isn't just the fact that someone is an introvert. There are other things that put things into motion and play. And that's why this is so important to understand and get back to the fact that the work you do doesn't stick people in a box.
No.
It's you help people understand the full nature of who they are.
Yeah, it's coming to your core. It's understanding who your core, because the belief is these are innate preferences. And then we behave based on these preferences and our environmental factors of how we were brought up and where we were brought up and what our gender and our age and things like that. But our core preferences don't change. And so we are all complex human beings. And so just coming back down to that simplicity of understanding the core, then you can go out and look out again and see, you know, oh, this is why I do what I do. And, oh, if I want to change a situation, this is the best way I can change it. These are my strengths. And these are my challenges, and who might I go to that my challenges are their strengths, and ask them for help.
That's really the core of what we're going to talk about today. But what I love about this, Carrie, is we're going to talk about solutions.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about, if you understand this aspect of who you are, this is what you can do.
Yes.
Even if other people around you don't quite understand that about you, this is what you can do to get some relief. Before we go to break, I want to make sure people know how they can work with you. Also, tell us a little bit about the work you do, especially around this.
Yes, thank you. I can be reached at kerinail.com, KERINAIL.com. And that's on my website. And my email is keri@kerinail.com. I think I said that. So, yeah, my coaching is life coaching, and I specialize in women going through life transitions who may be feeling overwhelmed with the complexity of life and trying to understand who they are and what their next steps are. And that can be challenging and stressful. And I just think everybody needs to know this information, because when we can speak to each other in ways that are helpful to each other, my energy is different than your energy, and that's okay. There's no right or wrong way. So, yes, that's how you can get a hold of me, and that's how I love it with people.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about when we come back from break. You know, how do you cope with stressors if ... When we come back, we'll fill in the blanks for you. Let's take a short break here. We'll be right back with Carrie now.
You've been listening. But are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com or visit Susan's website at SusanDolce.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. Nailed It Radio with Carrie Nail and me. I get to sit here with her. I'm Dr. Pat. This is today, Finding Simplicity Within Your Complexity. But the question really is this: are you ready to cope with stress? Do you know how? Has somebody told you to read a book, but yet the book doesn't really fit you? Because there's something about who you are that is not a one-size-fits-all. You know, you're not a can of tuna fish. You're something much bigger than that. You are literally the ocean. And so how do you understand who you are and what the solution is? That's what Carrie Nail does. And today, how do you cope with stress if Carrie.
So we talked a little bit about our energy and how to cope with that. The next dichotomy is how we see things, what our perception is, and they call it sensing and intuition. And sensing types, we see things through our very tangible facts in details in the moment and step by step. People who are naturally intuitive see things in a big picture way, future possibilities, can see patterns quickly, and tend to look away from themselves first, where sensing people tend to start with themselves first. And so something like details can energize someone like me, but they might stress someone like you who's naturally intuitive.
Yeah, boy, you nailed it right there.
And when you start talking about ideas and you know, kind of out there, right, I'm sitting there going, I may be sitting there going, but wait a minute, I need something to grasp onto, tangible, that I can relate to at this level.
Right.
And so just understanding that, right, is maybe I can come up and go, oh, okay, let me take all these details and chunk them up a little bit so I can present them to you in a way that you'll hear them. And maybe you can take all your big ideas and chunk them down to maybe three fruit hanging from a tree.
Yeah. You know, this is exactly right, because you could ask Olivia and Jacob, I've asked them to create two whiteboards. And on the whiteboards, there's very specific information I'm looking for, but I'm not looking for super detail. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking for how do we look at what we're doing and how do we keep our clients in order. But also, as a business person, when I look at these whiteboards, I look at the bigger picture. Like, I know we're going to have another channel. So what I look at is, how do these tell me or direct me to where I want to go? On the other hand, for Olivia and Jacob, those items are day-to-day things they do. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, I think I need to get some more office space. And mm-hmm. so that was a decision I made, right,
mm-hmm.
Based on our growth. But is it true? And this has always been a question mark. Just because I lean that way, I can still do a spreadsheet for my taxes.
Absolutely. You can focus. It depends on how much time you have to spend on that spreadsheet and focus.
Oh,
right? It's like putting your head down, right?
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, I got to pull my head up and like, I need to daydream for a while. I need to think about big thoughts and see patterns. And someone like me who naturally kind of puts my head down and focuses and dives down really deep, I kind of got to go like this and pull my head up and go, oh, yeah, there's other things up and out of here. So we can do both. And I can certainly, you know, think about big ideas and big thoughts, and I'm starting to look more at patterns. And part of it is as we do mature, we are able to be more patient with ourselves and with others, so that we can have a self-awareness of who we are, what our strengths are, and then having an appreciation and awareness of other strengths and challenges.
Now, let's talk a minute, if we could, specifically about this idea of perception and this idea of when we talk perception in this realm, what are the things we're looking at? Are we looking at, you know, this idea of sensing and what you just described? Are we looking at intuition? And how do we know what the sort of remedy is? I mean, we just had two great examples, right? I can put my head down, but then I get to the point where I got to watch the movie Godzilla and King Kong.
Yes.
That's coming out, right? I mean, I'm like doing my taxes and I'm thinking, when's that movie out?
Uh-huh.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we should allow ourselves this. So can you talk about the coping mechanism so people understand that if they're not you and me, there are other things they can do?
Yeah. So just for myself, I know when I am surrounded by big picture people or doing big picture thoughts and ideas, when I need to take a break, I will grab my phone and turn on my solitaire game.
That's it.
Because also that's my these letters, you know, that Myers-Briggs, I want people to understand the meaning behind these letters, but there's actually a formula. So my dominant function, I extrovert my feelings, my decision making, and I introvert my sensing. So when I am doing big picture thoughts and ideas, I need quiet time to do detailed stuff. So anything that's detail oriented, I might pull up a spreadsheet to get me back to equilibrium. And with someone like you who's intuitive, if you're dealing with too many details, it's like let yourself, what do you do? What do you do to bring yourself back to equilibrium?
Well, I'll tell you there are a couple of things. One of the things I know you wrote down is, I can't show you here, but if you were to look around, you'd see some abstract art that I created. You'd see some very special symbolic representations of, you know, two particular sculpted heads. You know, you'd start to see that. For me now, in Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network, that's where I go now. Because it's the creation of this new realm of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking detailed technology now and bringing it into this new design form.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And people say, gosh, you're spending so much time on that. And I think about it and I don't remember even when I started it. So it's like time stops.
Yeah.
But that's just a little bit for me.
Yeah. Well, so, some things I did write down, like people like me, we like detailed jigsaw puzzles. And we can focus on that, like, for a long time. And I love those little paint-by-number things, you know, those little coloring things now.
Yeah.
I get my little colored pencils out. Well, my sister, who's big picture, she paints her whole house, the outside of her house, right? Or she paints abstract art. My art, I'm looking at some of the art. You can't see it behind me. Oh, yeah, you can. That's mine.
That's beautiful.
It's very detail-oriented.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
You know, and even swimming, I'm a swimmer, and I love to swim laps in a pool, and I hear big picture people say, oh, my gosh, that's so monotonous. They like to go swim laps in the ocean.
You're so right. I mean, Linda's so much like you, and so it's fascinating when we have our downtime. And so the downtime is exactly what you said. So Linda will absolutely take out one of these notepads and start these bubble games, or in the morning goes right to Sudoku and can sit there in the morning. This is my morning energizer thing. I'm going to have coffee and Sudoku, and I'm just going to do that. But puzzles, that's her thing, puzzles. And so what's interesting is anytime the puzzle comes out, right, it's like, come on over here and help me. Come on over here and help me. And I'll come over and I'll do a couple of little pieces, and I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go away, and then I'll come back and do a couple little pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could acknowledge those differences in each other,
yes,
that's how we eliminate stress between people.
Yes.
By understanding that.
Yeah, and understanding that about ourselves, too, so that we do know that, why am I getting stressed? If I go do something that my husband wants to do and his preferences are different than mine and it stresses me out and I come down on myself because I'm not enjoying it as much as he is and I don't know why and I'm getting irritated, well, then, or vice versa, it's just, and then it's, oh, you know what? You know, then you can have a really great conversation with people in your life. Hey, you know, a lot of times I'll need to, while he's recovering, having his downtime and his big picture way of seeing things, I need to go out and expend my energy and do something detail-oriented so he can recover and I can recover and then we come back. Yeah. I have a great story to go with all. Once we go through all the preferences, I've got a great story.
Well, I think it's really important because, you know, Jessica, I know Jessica tells anybody that works here, Olivia, Jacob, this is how you have to work with Dr. Pat.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she explains is that don't spend 5 hours on creating a lower third or an opener because 99.9% of the time, that's not the way my creative juices work. I have to see it. So she's always coaching people to say, do a couple of rough cuts, stick it in front of her, because then you're going to get a sense, is this the direction we want to go? Is this the right color scheme? And it takes you 10 minutes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't take anything personally, because that's just my process. I rarely get something the first time. That's just my brain. And, you know, when you couple that with being learning different like I am, you have to see it to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come back, this is so important in this next segment because this is how do we get a thinking person and a feeling person in the same room and get anything done?
Yes.
How do we do that? Even dinner. How do we get this done? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll come back. What are you? Are you think you're sensing? Are you into, what is it? What is it? Are you thinking? Are you feeling? Do you know somebody that's thinking, but yet you're feeling? How does that work? Can that even happen? We'll be right back with Carrie now.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. Ever wonder why you want to go to the gym more, for example, but you just can't make it happen? You find yourself rearranging your underwear drawer instead of getting in the car. If this sounds like you, you might have caught a case of the shoulds. Maybe you think you should lose 20 pounds to fit back into your favorite pair of jeans, or that you should be healthier in general. It all sounds good, but deep down you just aren't into it. Truth is, making choices from shoulds just leads to guilt, resentment, and a whole lot of procrastination. So take a good look at your goals. Are you shoulding yourself anywhere? If so, give yourself permission to let it go. For more insights like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to support you.
Your inspiration all day on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Psychic medium Jamie here from Shades of Spirit. Shades of Spirit is proud to offer a monthly spiritual check-in, also known as our sacred circle, through Zoom. Each month, I, along with my partner in crime, Spirit Walker Nicole, will host a small sacred circle. These circles will include mini readings, fascinating discussions on various topics, and so much more. These circles will sell out fast, so don't wait to jump on this opportunity. Visit our website at shadesofspirit.com.
Everybody, welcome back. We're talking about stress, but we're talking about stress in a really amazing way. Stress is not one size fits all. What may put me on the edge of something may not put Carrie on the edge of something. Mm-hmm. What may cause Olivia to move into a completely creative mode may put Linda in a completely stressed role. Mm-hmm. Not enough detail, not enough explanation, not enough answers to the question. But what happens when you put a group of that are that different together and we can understand the gifts and talents we have? That's what you do. Carrie Nail, look, let's talk about these next two, because I really think that these next two, this is where the rubber meets the road. I think some of this, what we're about to talk to, is really responsible for the divorce rate right now. All right, take it away. Let's talk about how do you cope with stress if, and let's talk about it, decision-making, thinking, feeling.
Yeah. So the third dichotomy is how we make decisions. And again, like you said, it's called thinking and feeling. And so thinking types prefer to make decisions based on logic and principles, and you know, they use their head. You say head versus heart, and thinking logical people naturally are very objective, and usually takes the personal out of the decision making process. The opposite of that is feeling, and people who prefer feeling tends to make their decisions based on how their decisions affect people, and it's all people-oriented. They can actually sometimes put themselves in another person's shoes, empathy, right, and look at things subjectively based on the person that their decision is affecting.
Yeah.
And so the difference between the two, you had mentioned before the commercial break, that you have to sometimes let your staff know, don't take it personally when they present something to you.
Yeah.
And as a feeling person, we take everything personally.
Right.
And so ways to relate and communicate with each other is so helpful. So as a thinking person could say to a feeling person, hey, you know, I just want to appreciate your efforts, because you were talking about the effort that they did put into that. And I've had this happen to myself recently, too, in trying to order some coffee mugs with my logo on it. And I wasn't appreciating the detail the person, here I am a detail person, wasn't appreciating what the, how much detail the person went into it. And I'm just like, oh, well, yeah, but what about this and what about that and what about that? And they're like, whoa, no, you know. So just appreciating the other person from where they're coming from. For a feeling person, appreciate what they did put into it.
Yeah.
And as a feeling person, just maybe start with the facts and just, you know, just be prepared to start with the facts.
Yeah. I always say to them, and Olivia's listening, so maybe she'll share this with Jacob. I always say, if you want to know a little bit about me, don't look at our websites because we have limitation on what we've been able to do. So I'm redesigning our new websites with our new technology. But if you want to learn a little bit about me, there are three things you can do. You can go into my office and look at what's on my walls, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could take a look at some of the clients I've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Susan Dene, Dr. Sharon Martin, you know, Claudette Rowley, Cultural Brilliance. You could look at the websites that I've designed and built, mm-hmm. right? Especially Sharon Martin's, and you'll get a sense of where I go within the constraints of the client,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that I'm not afraid to push something to the edge.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes having a thinking person talking to me is the most important thing to help me.
Mm.
Because don't we need both?
Yeah.
Like when I was younger, I was so in the feeling mode that I remember Linda thinks about, we joke about things like this, that I got this apartment and all of a sudden I shoot pool and I got to have a pool table. And Linda's out there wearing the store and Linda's like, we got to take a measurement of the room. We have to measure the room. And I'm like, no, it's going to fit. And so we get the pool table in, and it does fit in the room, but not in a way you can play pool.
Yeah.
So she is my sanity check, and she actually is the sanity check for the network. But how can we help people, Carrie, appreciate both sides? Right.
I have a great example. This
Perfect.
Is what I used to do in my workshop. So I would separate, I would say, you know, I would explain the dichotomies, and then I'd say, those who think they prefer thinking over here, those who prefer feeling go over this side of the room. And then I say, okay, here's a scenario. Your coworker has been hit by a car and is in a coma in the hospital. What do you do? And they write down on, you know, flip charts or whatever, what they would do. Well, the feeling types start with, well, first of all, go check with the family, go check with the coworker, go to the hospital. What does the family need? Do they need money? Do they need us to do anything? And then they take care of their coworker and family first. And then they go, okay, who's going to cover their work? And what kind of work are they doing? Then the thinking people, that's immediately where they go to. Okay, who's going to cover their work? What do they do? How do we get the work done? And then at the end of the list, it's like, oh, we probably ought to go see how our coworker is and if the family needs anything. So we need to do both. It's just having an understanding of where you start and know that, okay, if I've gone into all the logical pieces, kind of step back and go into the people mode and say, okay, what's needed here, and vice versa.
And let's give a couple of examples because we were talking about it before. So a thinking person, and this is interesting because you can be in both of these areas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I reference my best friend, of course, and she's both. So Sudoku and Hallmark.
Yeah.
CSI or Law and Order, Special Victims.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Right.
And family shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what you have here is, if you're thinking, you may start your morning with Sudoku. You may watch cooking shows. You may watch competition shows. Or CSI Law and Order, you could watch the reruns a million times.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because she and I both flip a little bit in this area. So here's my question. It isn't a one-size-fits-all. You can have attributes of both, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And situationally, too.
Okay.
Right? So a situation, just working on my taxes right now is getting those ready, right? And it's all dry and numbers and spreadsheets and forms and, yeah. Yeah, so to recover from that, I'm not going to sit there and watch the news all day.
No. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to want to be around friends, empathetic friends, right, that I can just, we can just share what's going on in our lives and the people in our lives and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who has dealt with a logical person who has dealt with people issues all day long, right, are going to want to just end their day playing Sudoku.
Yeah.
Or, you know, watching a documentary about lots and of facts, or watch the news. Just come home and watch the news, right?
Yeah. And, you know, it's so good to appreciate this because, I mean, this is at the core of all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're talking about, you know, affects our personal life and affects our business life. And, you know, my discovery of this in the corporate world helped me understand, you know, the different ways this plays into being. Because when you're working on a project, you've got to consider all types, you know.
Yes.
And what I learned is I will never give the spreadsheet assignment to the big picture person if I'm in a deadline. Now, I may do that to help and develop and grow somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a deadline, I'm going to take the spreadsheet person and give them the tracking and the budget. And the other person, I'm going to give, write me a policy
mm-hmm.
in the workplace that doesn't exist for women.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back, how do we bring this all together? Because there's a couple things we haven't talked about.
Mm-hmm.
How do we bring this together? And what do we do if we do have somebody in our life that has an opinion about everything? The hair color, the shirt you're wearing, they are just the human scanner. They will scan the entire deal and let you know you have too many plants, too many twinkle lights. And where did they come from? Where do those people come from? And then how do you work together with that? What is happening when we're looking at these personality types? When we come back, we'll talk about that and much more. We'll be right back.
To put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof Join toxic relationships specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit sarahkramsey.com.
Everybody, welcome back. You are listening to Nailed It Radio with Carrie Nail and me. I get to do this show, Dr. Pat. Today we're talking about coping with stress, but we're talking about it in a way you probably not heard. You know, how do you understand your personality preferences and how does that help you cope with stress? That's what we're doing. You know, today we've covered so many things. We've talked about intuition. We've talked about introverts, extroverts. We've talked about sensing and intuition and thinking and feeling and how do you cope with that? How do you get relief? You know, now, Carrie, you're going to take us on a walk, putting it together now in the outer world, because it's one thing for us to be in a bubble, but now we got to go out.
Yeah. So the last dichotomy, it's called judging and perceiving. Those words are used because of the formula, but what they mean is people who prefer their lifestyle to be organized, structured, time-oriented, wants to make a plan, check it off, and move on, likes rules and regulations because it brings order and structure. That falls under the J, judging. The other dichotomy is called P, perceiving, and that's people who prefer to live life, go with the flow, no structures, no boundaries, just, you know, be relaxed, and it's about the process, not necessarily the end point.
Mm-hmm.
And so they tend to see things, live life in gray zones, right? All possibilities, whatever happens last minute, they get energized by last minute pressures. Judging people prefer to plan ahead and get things done so they can kind of sit and relax. They like to get to the airport early when we can all fly again. They like to get to the airport early,
right,
and then sit and relax. Perceiving preference, people tend to like wait till the last minute because they're still trying to get things done because they're, you know, all the possibilities are going. So I've got a great story. So I am extroverted, sensing, feeling, and judging. And my husband is introverted, intuitive, logical thinking, and open-ended. And my son is introverted, sensing, feeling, and open-ended. So two introverts, open-ended. We would go on vacations. My husband would we would all figure out where to go. He would make all the big picture details, the flights, the hotels. And then I would make detailed lists of things we could do there. I would do the research. And we would go on vacation. If they followed my plan, they need a vacation from our vacation. And if I went with them, I'd be sitting there tapping my toes. What do you want to do now? I don't know. What do you want to do now? And I'd be like, we could be doing something right now. So what I did was I devised two different lists. I devised a list that when we do get stuck trying to figure out what we want to do, I come up with three ideas. Only three, because too many options are you know, not good for open-ended. So, and then I had my own list of probably five things. And so in the mornings, while they were sleeping late, because that's a vacation, right?
Yes.
To be in a nice, big, pretty hotel room where they can sleep and re-energize because they have introverted energy. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I've got extroverted energy. I take my list out. I go and do the things I know only I want to do. They're probably not going to want to do. I come back, have breakfast with them, 10 o'clock in the morning. Nice, leisurely breakfast. And we head out, no plan. And we go discover the way they want to discover, open-ended. And then when it comes around to, well, what do you want to do next? What do you want to do next? I don't know. Then I pull out that list that I think they might like. And it's just three things. I'm like, do any of these interest you? Oh, that one does. Great. Let's go do it. Then we get done with that. The middle of the afternoon, they need a nap.
I pull out my other list and I go do it.
Oh, wow.
And then we come back at the end of the day for dinner and share how our days went. And everybody's happy.
Yeah. I think the key to what you're talking about is so critical because, you know, there is this unspoken word that we all have to do the same thing and we all have to do it together. And I think that's where the hiccups show up,
mm-hmm.
right? And it shows up in the workplace like that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where you get that hiccup. And what a brilliant way to handle that is to make sure that you're understanding who you're with and can make that accommodation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that. I usually go places with my friends and, you know, we do some annual things. Prior to COVID, we had an annual event we would go to every year. And I'm like, don't have any. Nothing. There's nothing on my list because this is my weekend away. Mm-hmm. But I'm one of the first ones to go to the list that they have created of this is puzzles over here. This is dancing over here because now I got these options.
Uh-huh.
And so now I don't have my own list. I don't feel pressured, but I'm over here and they say, oh, we're going to do dancing lessons and I will make that happen. And it's fascinating how this group of women knew to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're always the people like you that are getting up in the morning and they are skiing before most of us are breathing.
Right. Yes.
And don't you think, again, though, this is, again, one of these things where you can't take this personally.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and part of what I talked about last time, too, was breathing, right? And so when... you know, as an extroverted person who's super sensitive feeling, when something's not going the way my preferences are, I need to do way more breathing to calm myself down. And versus someone who might be more introverted or more big picture because they, you know, probably, you probably are automatically do that for yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that doesn't this wind into marriage and relationships, right? You know, it's really interesting. Somebody can come home from work and be like, okay, I'm like done. I'm going to put my thing down and I don't even know where I'm going. But then you've got the other side of it is, hi, how are you? How was your day? Blah, blah, blah. And I have had more couples that I coach with this one thing that is like the dividing point. It's like the straw.
Here's the solution. So if say the wife is extroverted and sensing and they've been home most of the day, either working at home, working within the home, being the primary caregiver, and the spouse say is introverted and big picture and logical and has been working with people all day, and that spouse comes home and says, hey, how was your day, honey? And that spouse is thinking, the big picture spouse is thinking, just give me a good, bad, you know, kind of give me an overall idea. And the extroverted sensing spouse is going, well, let me see. I did this, I did this, this went well, that didn't go well, this went well, that didn't go well. But, and they have to say it out loud because it doesn't make sense. They don't really process it. They process it out loud.
Yeah.
And then the spouse that comes home from work is like, whoa. So what I suggest doing is if you're the big picture introverted person coming home from work, don't ask how was your day until you're ready to know how your spouse's day was. And if that spouse does say that, probably being polite, the spouse that's been home can go, you know what, why don't you go have some downtime and come back, we'll have some dinner. And when you're ready to hear the details of my day...
So important, and it happens all the time. I mean, I've become acutely aware of it because, you know, someone will ask me, how did the meeting with Carrie go today? You know, how did the meeting? Now, you know, when we meet, there's a lot of details, stuff we go over, And I'll get asked, how did it go? And my answer is, oh, great. And then I walk away. And I've got like five people wanting to know, did you get the show name? Did you get the tagline? Did you get the episode description? And I'm like, oh, great, right? And so I've learned that for the moment it's great, and then they'll let me go sit down, and then three people will show up on my door and will come in, and I'll provide more detail. It's so important to do that. I'm also aware that great is not really an answer for a coworker or somebody that's...
Well, yeah, because one person's great can be another person's, okay.
But the work that you're doing is critical to not only avoid conflict, but to resolve issues in a way of understanding that we just don't get to. I mean, what you do and how you do this, this is sort of this non-personal approach that could be fun.
Yeah.
There's so many exercises and things you do with this.
Yeah.
There's so many solutions with this. And you don't judge the person for what they are.
Exactly. It's a way to take the judgment out of it and a way to communicate more effectively. My energy is different than your energy. You see things differently than I do. And this is what I need. When when you come at me with these big picture thoughts, I need a little more information, I need a little more than just great. And knowing I know that you have introverted energy, I'm going to let you go and sit with that great for a little bit before I start peppering you with, give me some more details.
I love it. You know, look, thank you for today. You've nailed it. I mean, we went to look at a new home for me, a new apartment. And, of course, Linda and Jessica have got all the details. I was standing in the dining room, and later on, I asked, where was the dining room? and then we're going through this, and what was the one question I had? Can I paint this wall? Right?
Yeah.
But, look. Thank you for what you do. First of all, how do we find out more about you? How do we work with you? And then I'd love to know your closing message, your personal message for today.
Yeah, so you can reach me at my website, which is carrienail.com. You can send me an email at carrie@carrienail.com. And I just want everybody to realize that taking this new understanding, new awareness, of your and others' preferences. This can bring less stress and more enjoyment and more peace to yourself and with each other. And then, you know, I don't want to be a Pollyanna, but then that just spreads out into the world. When you have the patience to appreciate each other's similarities and differences, it makes all the difference in the world.
Thank you for that. And I want to add on, we've shared some funny stories. Sometimes we have to just laugh at ourselves too, don't we?
Yes, exactly.
I love it. Carrie, now thank you so much for today.
You.
This was so fun. And boy, I'll tell you, you are right in the core of helping so many people, especially during these COVID times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they so need what you're doing. Thank you so much for all of it.
You're very welcome.
Olivia, thank you for pushing all the right buttons. And everybody out there, thank you for being the best audience on the planet. We'll see you next time.
You've nailed it. Thank you for listening to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail, and my co-host Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm at my best when I'm helping others be their best. Tune in next time for more tips and stories on what it means to become whole and integrate into your true self. To subscribe to this show and get more information about how I can help you be your best, visit carrienail.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Round the Sound. Over on 167 northbound, where it meets the 405 northbound interchange at Talbot Road South. Typical for today in the rush up through into Bellevue from Renton. Sunset Boulevard is heavy up through again to Kennedale Hill and break free around 1st. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time it's with special guest host Julia Griffin. And it's all about higher vibrations and positive shifting. Stay tuned.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bill Trefiro. President Biden holds his first news conference since taking office.
We will, by my 100th day in office, have administered 200 million shots in people's arms.
He opened with a progress report on COVID vaccinations. Biden reminded everyone that he met his goal of getting 100 million shots in the arms of Americans in his first 100 days in office. He said his new goal will be 200 million shots in his first 100 days. The CEOs of Facebook, Twitter, and Google are being pressed on the spread of misinformation on social media.
Our nation is drowning in disinformation driven by social media.
That's Pennsylvania Democrat Mike Doyle, who opened a virtual House hearing and said the growing power of social media is awesome. Nearly two dozen senators are headed to South Texas today to get a firsthand look at the surge in illegal immigration. It's led by Texas Senator John Cornyn.
We'll begin the trip tonight when we speak to the Border Patrol at their muster prior to the midnight shift and thank them for their service.
Tomorrow, the senators will do a ride-along, including a boat trip on the Rio Grande, to see the challenges the Border Patrol faces. The suspected gunman in the Boulder grocery store attack is being held without bond while his mental health is assessed. The judge granted a request from Amadalis' lawyer to delay his next court date due to unspecified mental illness. Officials are responding to a report accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of prioritizing COVID-19 testing for his family. The Albany Times Union reported that Cuomo used state resources to push his family's test samples to the front of the line early in the pandemic. A Cuomo spokesperson called the report an insincere effort to rewrite the past. Major League Baseball is teaming up with other sport organizations to get the word out about the COVID-19 vaccine. They're joining 12 others in a new education initiative called It's Up to You. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Join Mystic Radio for Past Lives, People, and Pets every Wednesday at noon. You can call into Mystic Radio for a past life reading or a spiritual healing for you and your pets. Host Robert Alexis is an exceptionally talented intuitive who's identified hundreds of people's past lives. Co-host Nels Rasmussen is a renowned spiritual energy balancer who's adept at remote healing for you and your pets. Set your alarm for Wednesdays at noon so you never forget to listen and call in to Mystic Radio.
Let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk weather outlook for Thursday. Well, we'll see mostly cloudy skies after the morning rain burns off. A few sun breaks mixed in as well. High temperatures around 51 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows down to about 41. For Friday and running up to the weekend, partly sunny skies, high temperatures in the mid to upper 50s, mostly cloudy skies through the overnight, and low temperatures in the low 40s.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 a.m. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 Channel 3.
How many ways to listen?
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Julia Griffin, and I am guest hosting today for Dr. Pat. And we're going to talk about one of the most incredible beings that I ever met, the wolves, and how that completely changed my life and helped me to awaken and open my heart. So before I tell you about all of this, I met a wolf first in my dream. Then I met real wolves, and I met someone who was raising wolves, and she had about 15 of them. And the first time that I went there, Juno, who was the alpha wolf, the female is the alpha, the male supports her in taking care of the pack. She was a big wolf, about 100 pounds, black, with a golden cape, that's the fur, on the back, and a golden mask, and the mask was exquisite, and her eyes were close to the same color. When she looked at me, I could literally feel her looking at my soul and looking at my heart. And when I knew that she approved of me, it was the most incredible feeling that you can imagine. It was like knowing that you were worthy, knowing that the work you had done and the light that you had was shining. So my friend had told me I could go in and see the wolves by myself. And as I said, there were quite a few. I think that there were 8 in that pen. I had never been alone with a wolf before, although I had met one. And I was like, okay, I'm terrified, but I'll make myself walk around the pen. And it was big, probably over a half an acre, close to an acre. And she ran next to me the whole time and kept all the other wolves away from me. And I sat on a rock, and I remember her looking at them. And then they came up to me because she told them I could pet them then. And that stayed with me. The thing about being with a wolf, when you see them, it is like having this amazing wave of spiritual energy, a kundalini, that comes through you. And yet at the same time, you're more aware of the earth than you could possibly imagine. It's like all of a sudden every tree, every time it moves its branches, you feel it within you. And you feel all these rhythms and patterns within the earth. And then you feel that they are an incredibly highly psychic and spiritual creature. So soon after that, I began to hear what they were thinking. And their thoughts were complex and beautiful and sometimes even spoken in paragraphs, which was something that I never imagined could exist. And then they began to tell me stories of how we had all lived in harmony with the earth, how we were filled with starlight and the power of earth, and how we could think of something like an apple or a piece of fruit, and it would appear in front of us. And during that time, we could run easily on the earth for miles. We could play in the sea or swim out forever and come back. We needed very little sleep. And the other thing is that the earth, we're attuned to this idea of easy, almost instantaneous manifestation. And the wolves told me that they had come back to help us remember that we have this ability to connect in this way. Now, let me speak a little bit about what's going on now. The earth is changing right now. If you see the energy of the earth, it runs in lines or patterns. And most of them have been the same for centuries. Think of the pyramids. That sits on a very great PowerPoint that even as I'm speaking of it, we can feel it, right? I'm not saying that all the great PowerPoints are changing yet, but the lines of energy are changing. And as they flow and they discover their course through the earth, some of our powers of manifestation will come back. So if you've been working on something and wondering why it's not manifesting, and we'll talk a little more about this later, but if you've been wondering why the energy has not been there, you know, this change in energy also has to do with why we feel tired or energized or weird one day, or we have this feeling that everything's going to be wonderful and then it goes away. that's because those lines are still ebbing and flowing and finding their course, like all the different parts of a river as it flows to the sea. The streams change, the course of the river changes, and so the way that you would navigate down it changes. And we're going through that vast change right now. But let's all go to a higher frequency for just a second. What if the world was 10 times or 100 times better? What if we could think of wonderful things and they would begin to happen? That's the kind of change that the wolves think that we can create. Now, who can create it? The people who want to awake, to move into an awakened state, and the people who listen to their heart and their inner self. So if you're not sure yet what your inner self is, think of the most wonderful times in your life when you were in a state of receiving and giving, or maybe you went on vacation somewhere and you couldn't believe how alive you felt, or you were in the garden and the trees moved and the clouds moved and you felt like the world was aware of you. Or how about just that feeling when you see someone you love that you haven't seen for a long time and your heart leaps up? Or perhaps it was success. There's something that you really wanted to do and you did it. Or you made a leap in your spiritual life. The very best moments in our lives, when we feel alive and connected, when we're able to do things that we don't ordinarily do, that comes from your inner self. So can you imagine for a moment if just even 100,000 people in the whole world were aligned with their inner self at the same time, thinking of light and manifesting good things? I'm sure you can feel it as I say it. That much good energy could change everything overnight. Overnight, there would be discoveries of how life can work in harmony with nature. Overnight, disease and sickness would go away to a great extent. Most likely, we would live longer. But best of all, there would be unlimited abundance because we would use our energy in the right way. There would be much more love. And when a lot of people are connected at one time, it's so easy to be kind. It's so easy to do the right thing. And when you meditate, you feel like, why am I not doing this all the time? There's the universe. That's what I want. So imagine for a moment you're me. You've been spending 2 or 3 weeks with wolves, and they're huge, and you still have to work on your physical fear, because if, like me, you're a thin person or a light person, they weigh as much as you do, in some way more. And your body is learning their language, how they move, what it means when they lean against you. When they lean against you, there are two different parts of this. One is they really like you and they're sharing their energy with you. The other one is they're testing you to see what you do when they lean against you. So for those of you who want to know, you drop your weight, like down into a deep stance, and then you lean against them. And when you lean back, they know that you're strong enough. So physically, you're going through these tests with wolves. You're learning how to hold your hands, how to hold your body, how to step. And they're telling you messages like this. Okay, well, there must be some reason they're telling you, right? It must be important. And so that's where I was when all of this was happening. I would write it down and I would think, what does this mean? How is the earth changing? How am I supposed to create all these things and help with this and all the things that they're telling me? How am I a part of that? So I know some of you must be in the same place, that you've just started to work on your spiritual life and that you've started thinking that you want to do things like this, but how do you do it? We're going to talk a little more about that a little later, but think about that. You wouldn't be hearing this if you couldn't do it, most likely. And where you start is your inner self. The other thing that you find out is Where's your heart? How does it feel when you're connected to your heart? What is that place of love? Because there are many, many places of love within us. But how does it feel when you're in the heart? And how does it feel when you're connected to your inner self? So start with that connection and start with the heart. And it's a different kind of love. It's unconditional love. It's love that flows through you. If you're not familiar with this, you can simply draw a circle on your chest and imagine a ray of pink light from the universe flowing into your chest. And just breathe in this unconditional love. And let more flow in and realize that unconditional love isn't about your personality or what you do or where you live. Unconditional love is because you're part of the universe and it sees you and it feels you. And as you open up to that, it directs you to the place where you should go and to a place in consciousness where you should be. And that's part of how we do this. So let's go to break now and we'll come back and we'll talk more about manifesting and becoming the person you really are.
Everyone, I'm Dr. Pat. Hey, are you loving Shades of Spirit Radio? Well, mark your calendar. Shades of Spirit goes live in a new time slot every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
What?
Yeah, you heard that right. Psychic medium Jamie and Spirit Walker Nicole, 5 p.m. every Wednesday. Live readings, giveaways, oracle cards, and lots of fun. So be there. Call into the show at 1-800-930-2819 and visit ShadesOfSpirit.com.
Are you ready to find out who you really are? Are you ready to have fun and listen to the soul part of yourself? Indulge in a deeper meaning with Laura Goldstein, host of Coffee with the Universe. This show will awaken that true self hidden deep within you and will get you energized on who you were created to be. So go ahead, grab your cup of joe and experience Coffee with the Universe with Laura Goldstein on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Take the power of essential oil healing to the next level with the Essential Light Insight Deck, containing 61 oracle cards. Each card holds a painting and message that captures the spirit of an essential oil. By drawing a card, you'll illuminate the spiritual healing capacity of plants and transform your day. For more information about the Essential Light Insight Deck and Gen Ripa, visit Thriveology.com.
Dr. Griffin, and I'm subbing for Dr. Pat today. I'm at onetrueself.com, onetrueself.com, and we're talking about warmth, the earth, awakening, and how you can manifest a better life. So let me tell you again what it was like in the beginning, and that is that I started spending 4 or 5 hours, sometimes twice a week, with wolves after I met them. I had this incredible attraction for them. I mean, I literally thought about going to see them all week long. Now, when you're in a pen with wolves, they're constantly trying to see how strong you are, how brave you are, how true you are. And let me add something that most people don't know anything about. They work very, very hard to raise your vibration and to get you to connect more deeply with nature and to open your heart. Now, if we look back in time, the wolves have stories that they've told for eons. They're very old. They come from the Pleistocene era. They've changed very little since then because they're pretty perfect. So they have seen the earth, and they tell those stories to each generation of wolves that are born. And one thing that they tell about this is that they came here to be our companion. They have sort of a Genesis myth in some degree. I don't think they would ever call it that. But they talk about that in the beginning, everything was perfect. Everything was harmonious. We had great powers. We could dream of something or think of something. And we were so in harmony that it would happen. But time went on. And in time, we forgot. But the wolves did not forget. They say that this is the time for us to remember who we really are. This is a time for us to begin feeling our hearts, feeling the earth, and manifesting a different future. And there are many, many ways of manifesting. One of those ways would be, instead of thinking something like, oh, the blue jays are disappearing, instead you would see blue jays. If you see trees being cut down, make it 5 years in the future and big trees are being put in all the cities. And they're gorgeous and everyone is happy to see them. See the opposite of what you are experiencing. See yourself as vitally, wonderfully well and strong. Whatever it is, see it the other way. According to the wolves, human beings have perceptions, many of which have been encoded over time, other ones that we just pick up from what goes on in our lives. One of those things are memories. It's well known, no matter what you study, that people tend to relive their memories. If we move to the level of manifestation, they recreate their memories, and they actually begin to think that they're characteristics of themselves. Now, anyone can rewrite this. No, you can't rewrite everything, but you can rewrite a great deal. So the wolves, which are immensely strong, and until you really train your body to do exactly the right thing around them, of course they're gentle and they don't push you. But as you know more, you learn how to feed them. You learn how to touch their feet. You learn what they like, the same way that you learn about your friends. But there you have these incredible creatures who want you to be more than you've ever been. Usually, the wolves, the dolphins, the whales, the coyotes sing songs at the full moon, and I think that this one is on the 28th. They sing songs, and those are actually carried by all the light particles at the time of the full moon, and they come to everyone. So that's a good time to ask, to say, show me how to use some of this information. So one of the stories with this is that we can create art to make things happen. For example, the early cave paintings Those were there so that they could find deer, or the deer would come to them. We can call things like that in by using our imagination. So to wolves, we're very unimaginative. We don't really act on what we truly want in our hearts. We think we want things, not the sensation. So those are interesting things to know. The other thing to know, and I think we can all use some of this, is that wolves always play. They can be very old, and they still might play hide the pine cone all day long. They come up with games. They play tricks on each other. They play tricks on humans, and they think it's hilarious. You can literally see them laugh. The other thing that they like are adventures. I mean, I've literally seen them spend a month digging under a fence for an escape route where they would all go out for a few hours and then come back. And of course they knew that the person who had them would know and would fix that. They didn't do anything but wander around and come back. Why? They wanted an adventure. And sometimes we forget how important having fun is, how great it is to laugh, how great it is to run, how great it is to see the beauty of the world. The other thing that they like to do is to play in water. And if you put your feet in, they splash you and they laugh and they make rocks fall down. And in many ways, it's like playing with a giant child. And I think that part of manifestation is finding that part of you that takes great joy in life and the very simple things. All children do this. And if we can do that, then we're moving back into a place where things start to work. And that's really, really important for all of us, to move into that space. So take a moment and think about what kind of joy you want to experience. Where do you want that joy in your life? Is it outdoors? Is it being with people? Is it finding out who you are? Because all those things involve that. If you begin to start doing things from your heart, it will indeed change. So imagine that you're moving through that change, that there's joy and beauty and marvelous things coming into you. I mean, why wouldn't there be, right? So let's see that. Beautiful, beautiful things moving into your life. And let's feel that for you. One more thing that we can see with this and take a second. What in your heart have you always wanted to do that you've never done? And I think that when I was first with the wolves, my answer would have been, well, I don't know. You know, I have lots of things that I want, but I don't know how deep that is. And the wolves changed that for me. They uncovered that. They found the things in my heart that I wanted. So, you know, it could be sort of funny to say this, but it is the most wonderful thing when you remember that. When you begin to remember what it is that you want. And one of the odd and interesting and beautiful things about being with them is that I grew up on a vast farm when I was a child with lots and lots of woods. And I used to ask every single day, please, universe, let me hear the thoughts of animals. That was one of the things I wanted to know more than anything. I knew animals were talking. I could feel it, but I couldn't hear it. So that was one of my heart's desires. So let's go to break now, and you think about your heart's desires and what it is that you really want. And we'll come back in just a moment.
With me, Craig Richardson, carves a pathway from your mind to your heart to activate that innate compass to overcome whatever life sends your way.
As an intuitive life coach, I am ready to guide you to an amazing life. Tune in live every second and fourth Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about me, visit CraigERichardson.com.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com.
I'm Julia Griffin, and I am subbing for Dr. Pat today. You can find me at onetrueself.com, onetrueself.com. Sign up for my newsletter to receive updates, find out about manifestation and your inner self. Today we're talking about wolves. I had the most incredible experience with wolves. Not only did they help me to awaken, to hear the voices of animals and plants and people, they also taught me a tremendous amount about manifestation. And I wanted to tell you about this in this segment about when I lived with my own wolf. I talked earlier about what it's like to be with wolves, but living with a wolf is a different experience. It takes a while for any wolf to decide that they really want to be with you. And they're somewhat like a cat. They only need you so much. If they really want to get out, a wolf has a 1,500 pounds of jaw pressure. They can bite things and get out. They can slip out through the door. They don't need you really to feed them. So you come to, why are they living with you? And it's because they have this great wolf love. They've decided that you're worthy and that they love you. And when you feel that love from them, it is like the biggest wave. It's unimaginable, and it's unlike anything else. But when you bring a wolf into your home, no matter how much you like them, no matter how familiar you are, there is a period of time when they have to decide if they really want you or not. And you can feel that uncertainty. And it's not always easy because you can tell they don't like what you're doing. They don't always like the food. They don't always like your sleeping habits. And then there's this moment that changes. And you become theirs. It is the most amazing thing, because think about a wolf. They're courageous. They don't have to worry about anything else hurting them. They don't have any fear about death or fear about life. So they can love you with no restraint. And when it hits you, it's incredible. If you have other people living in the home, it usually extends to them. And after a few weeks of the wolf deciding that you're the person it wants, you're theirs, when they sleep, you dream with them, and you go to the most beautiful places. They're always in your dreams. When you're awake and you're thinking about something, if you're intuitive, they often answer your questions. Like if I thought, should I get ready to go to the store? And I would hear from the wolf, no, it's not a good time. It's like, well, okay. Now, let's say you weren't that intuitive. If you paid attention, you could tell from their body language. If it doesn't matter, they just sort of look at you, you know, with their ears up, like, well, whatever you want to do. When you're upset, they actually send you waves of energy to lift you out of that place. And that's something that they eventually taught me to do. In the beginning, I had been through some difficult times, and I wasn't even aware of this. But when I had to do things that I didn't want to do, you know, like every mother or everyone who goes to work has, you have moments you really don't want to do the dishes or the clothes, or you really wish you didn't have so much work to do. She would send a wave of energy to me, Maya did. And when that energy would hit me, I would start remembering some of the most beautiful times of my life. What only took 2 or 3 months before I stopped thinking about those things, and I started thinking about beautiful things in their place. It didn't take long before I wasn't depressed anymore. I didn't have those blank out episodes. And so that was huge. I became a happier person. As I became a happier person, I had more fun with everyone, and life suddenly became exciting. And that's one of the things that I think that we all need right now, is to know that we can change how we feel by seeing and feeling different things. If what you're trying to manifest or experience is different from your life right now, and you can't imagine it, then go back into the best times in your past. And if you're honest about it, they'll always have a certain quality. It may be a dreamlike quality. It may be a sweet quality. I always remember smelling wonderful things, feeling good in my body, being aware that I was alive. That's me. Your memories may be completely different. I also found that when I ran with a wolf, that I was very, very light. That it was almost like flying. And yeah, she had on a leash. So it wasn't as though she was dragging me. It wasn't as though I was trying to get her to run faster or slower. It's that I was encompassed in this ability that she had. Now, to me, that brings a lot of the idea of truth into the concept of totems, and why early man used them. If she could get me and my children, I think one other person she allowed to run with her, to run at that pace and to float, then maybe that's another thing that animals have to give to us as almost superhuman physical abilities. Did I master it? Can I do it without a wolf? Absolutely not. But I think it was really cool that that happened. Now, I promise to talk about how she helped me manifest. Like so many of us, I would have moments when I could really meditate deeply and I could feel the light and I knew God or the universe was hearing me and that things were changing. And that was amazing. But could I do it every day? No. Did I look at my watch to see when 10 or 15 minutes had passed? Absolutely. So the interesting thing is that I would go sit outside and she would come out with me on the porch. And I noticed right away that I was seeing more light, that I was feeling more light around me, and that it was a different sensation altogether. So naturally, I began to meditate more because it felt so great, you know, and I was doing it. Yay. So that was incredible. But then the next thing that happened is that when I would visualize something, she would make it sharper. It was like someone with binoculars. Everything that I was seeing and thinking about would come in this really sharp way. Now, the little things that I wanted, like maybe I would think about a friend briefly when I was meditating, or I would think, I haven't seen my friends in forever. When am I going to see them? Well, within 24 hours, everyone that I thought about would call. If it was something small that I wanted, like let's say I saw a shirt in a magazine, didn't go shopping much, or I thought about having that, my mother, my grandmother, someone in my family would mail it to me almost immediately. And I thought about, you know, all that I had studied about manifestation and how many times I'd done it, and most of the time it didn't work. Well, I saw right away it could work. It was having a larger energy. It was being connected to the earth, and it was believing that I could let that light in. So that kept going, and the things that I really wanted manifested more and more quickly. Because I was hearing wolves and other animals pretty accurately, people began to want me to do readings for them. And I just did really short ones in the first part, you know. Like your horse hates the color of its halter or it doesn't like its food, change that. To my surprise, those little things that I would say were always accurate. And after a while, it seemed as though that energy I used when I meditated was moving through me. And later on, that became what I did for extra money. And then later on, I did more and more of it. But it was very small in the beginning. The thing that I think is that none of us are really taught how to put so much energy into our meditation, that the light comes to us, that answers start to come to us. So that's one thing we can all work on, because when that's happening, you're definitely connected to your inner self. Along with that, Maya, my wolf, started to correct my thoughts. Like after I visualized something in detail, I'd be going around like, yeah, that's never going to happen. Should probably be more practical and make it something else. And she would say, see what you want. Don't think that. See it. See yourself doing that. And I would try. And it took a while. I really, truly had to practice. And I like to think of myself as an imaginative person. But I want to be honest and say that the really big things that we want to manifest, we have some kind of block from our childhood, from another life, and we have to be super imaginative to come back the other way and really see and believe that that's going to happen. The other piece of it, and when we come back, we'll talk about it, is it's really hard not to ask how. If you're a human being who's been to school and you say you want to create or have something, the first thing you're going to say is, how can I do that? And yet we live in a really big universe that some of the time is saying, don't ask how, just see it happening. So when we come back, I'll talk to you about some of the times that the wolves taught me that how is not part of the equation. Now, naturally, it is with some things, but not all the time. So let's go to break now, and we'll be back in just a few moments, and we'll talk about how to manifest without solving the how question and where manifestation takes you in the bigger picture, according to the wolves. We'll be right back after break.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss? Follow Angie Corbett-Kuyper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind. Anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss every first Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit BeyondProof.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara company. I've been using the Volara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
Has your kindness been used against you? Are you ready to clear the confusion and reconnect with your power? Then it's time to become toxic person proof. Join toxic relationship specialist Sarah K. Ramsey as she gives you the secrets to rebuilding and rebranding your life after a toxic person encounter. It's time to get past the past, get real about the present, and get serious about your future. For more information, visit SarahKRamsey.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Julia Griffin with One True Self, ONE True Self, and I'm subbing for Dr. Pat today. We're talking about wolves, we're talking about manifestation, your heart, and becoming more of who you truly are, which those were some of the things that I learned when I lived with wolves. They certainly helped me to awaken. They have this very old world energy, like they come from the beginning of time, and they know everything. And they actually step up your energy so you can perceive the unseen world if that's the right path for you. And one of the things that they want for everyone is that we learn who we truly are, our inner self, that we feel the beauty of the heart, that part of us that tells us are not aligned. And we learn to spend more time seeing what we want than seeing what we don't want. And earlier I was talking about living with my wolf Maya. It was a small wolf with a great deal of fur. She was a hybrid. It looked as though someone had touched her with a charcoal pencil and just barely made a line down her back and tail and then given her shading on her ears and her face. Very, very beautiful and sweet. And one thing that I want to add is that if you would like to communicate with animals, one of the first things that you can do is to verbally say, "You're beautiful. You have the prettiest tail," or "Your coat is gorgeous," or "Look what beautiful eyes you have." Animals respond to that the same way that you would. If I said from my heart, "Don't you look lovely today?" Your auric field would open. So animals open when we notice what is good or beautiful about them, the same way that humans are. We actually share a lot of personality traits with animals and with wolves. What I wanted to say earlier, and we're going to continue with this, is that when people have a clear vision of what they want to manifest, they always say how. And I'm going to tell you how the wolves moved me through this. I'm not going to say you don't have to take any action, because that's rarely true. Sometimes it is. Sometimes things just come to you. Other times you have to change how you are, or what you feel, or what you do. Now, manifestation automatically puts you in alignment with your inner self. If you're listening to that, you're going to change some of the things that you do. Maybe you start meditating every day. Maybe you change the way you exercise. Maybe you drive to work in a different direction, or you watch different movies, but you're going to change. So those are part of the actions. But usually when I would start on something, I would go like, how? How? This is never going to happen for me. And what they taught me was when you have that feeling to go deeper into whatever it is that you want, to make it like you're watching a movie and it's already happening and you're so happy, then little things come into your life. For example, when I was with them, I really wanted some specifically rare herbs. A person had actually moved into the area where I lived and offered herb seeds from all over the world that you couldn't find anywhere, and they were only like 40 minutes away from me. And they were not super expensive. As soon as I began those seeds growing, people just started leaving me plants, expensive plants out of their garden or somewhere else that they had them. And that went on for a couple of years. And at that point, since I had grown all those seeds, I could trade for about anything that I wanted. Now, yes, it's a lot of work to take rare seeds. Some have to be frozen. Some have to be cooked in the oven. Some have to be put outside. Some take 2 years to come up. So it's a lot of work. And that is action. But notice when I'm telling you this, how little action I had to take. I didn't even have to leave my house. So the how comes from the depth of your concentration and your love for whatever it is that you want. So if there is something you want, one of the things I was writing about this morning from the wolves when I said, why does it take so long to manifest sometimes? The answer is that indigenous people, think about it. Sometimes they would spend a whole day or 3 days meditating on someone becoming well. Or everyone would go look for a certain flower or plant. So it was a very different way of manifesting in the past. I'm not telling you to give up your day job and go out and find a plant. I am saying is that everything is magical. You can order yourself a special crystal. You can decide that you're going to get into a wonderful place of being and see your visualization more. Or you're just going to imagine that you're already living in that state of being. But it's a fascinating thing how you can take small steps and the universe responds with an energy that comes into you and into your life. I think this is a very different thing for human beings. We tend to think of some people as being entitled, some people as good at manifesting certain things, and some people as they just can't create what they want. And I really like to delete and let go of all of that labeling, because I think we're moving into a time where we should believe that everyone can create what they want. that everyone can find their inner self and awaken. Awakening is a choice, but if you're aware enough to listen to these things and to really start going, I mean, radio shows like this, when you know when you tune in, you're going to go to a higher level, you're probably ready to start working with it. And the time to work on it most is, of course, when you feel like it's not working. Now, the alternative to that that I found has worked really well was to spend a day in the woods, laughing, having a picnic, spending time in a stream, letting my body really relax and connect with nature. That seemed to be just as effective as spending a lot of time manifesting. And for those of you who decide to take this course, you're going to find that you will move through fear. All of us have some kind of fear. But if you're manifesting something, you're going to get through that. And you're going to have strength and courage and love and probably some type of gift, which is so much better than the alternative. There are wolves all over this planet. And I can promise you that they're sending out wavelengths of energy so that you can find this and you can find this balance and this happiness in your life. I think for the people who move into this, we're going to find that life becomes surprisingly good. Not tomorrow, but not too far away either. Please hold that in your heart, that you can manifest. You have a beautiful heart. The universe loves you unconditionally. And you're playing a big part in all the changes on the earth that are yet to come. The big ones, the beautiful ones, and the good ones. Because that's part of who you are. You're part of this change that's coming. So if you'd like to know more about this, once a month I do write messages from the wolves in my newsletter. You'll also find tips for inner growth, for listening to your heart, and the energetic weather. It's Julia Griffin at One True Self, onetrueself.com. And I hope to hear from you soon. You can hear my show on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month between 12 and 1 p.m. ET. Thank you so, so much for being with me. And if you're using these techniques, you can send me an email. You can find contact Julia on my website and let me know how it worked for you. Thank you for being with me.
Shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download.
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between.